Football on Off the Ball
with Sky. Watch Premier League, Women's Super League, Scottish Premiership and much more live on Sky Sports.
Well, we've just brought you West Ham 3 Liverpool 2 on Off the Ball. Joe Molloy here. Keith Tracy was alongside me. First things first, you'd say extraordinary game start to finish, lively, high quality, just what you wanted and just what we were hoping for, I think, in advance.
Yeah, excellent game, 3-2 to West Ham in the end, but both teams going for it. I know it's sort of a cliche, both teams going to win, but West Ham, Liverpool coming to town, you could forgive them for, you know, getting behind the ball and not having a lot of ambition, but West Ham just aren't that team anymore. I think they feel they can go and beat anybody at this moment in time, and with the players that David Moyes has accumulated at the club, with Antonio, Fernandes, Benrahma and Bowen, the work rate of them four it's really phenomenal. It's outstanding, and the recovery runs as well, Souček and Rice backing them up, it's excellent to watch. And I've been lucky enough that I've managed to cover West Ham the last couple of times, and like I say, the more I see them, the more impressed I am with them. They're really outstanding team at the minute,
and it's twofold. There's the organisation and then there's the work rate that you mentioned. And if the theme of the weekend maybe has been about work rate and closing down, or in the case of Manchester United players, for instance, not closing down, it can sound a touch old-fashioned. You saw the value of it today for West Ham, the value of some old-school running out to the ball, putting players under pressure.
Exactly that. And, you know, you hear the professionals harping on about it's a two-yard run. If you go 2 yards more, you stop that pass, you stop that cross. And like we say, with Bruno Fernandes with the United one, it's literally a 2 or 3 yard extra sprint, and if he does that, the cross doesn't come in, Bally doesn't hack it into his own net, and you're still at nil all, and you're giving yourself a platform to go and do something in the game. They're just very basic things to get wrong, and I think that's the annoying thing from a United point of view. But from a West Ham United point of view, they do all the things, they do the basics so well, and they've talent backing it up. Like you're seeing, Bowen was tireless all day running up and down, but when he got the chance to burst from midfield, he just left 3 of the Liverpool players behind him. He attracted Matip into him, and then he found the pass for Fernandes to go and get the second goal. It was brilliant. It was talent with hard work, with desire, with willingness to run. It was everything that David Moyes would have wanted from him, he got.
Liverpool are such a good team, such a brilliant team, that invariably, for all the hard work on West Ham's part, Liverpool still got lots of crosses in. We saw the Origi goal, which was a great goal, but more often than not, when the ball did go into the area, you had the likes of Zuma there, Ogbonna went off injured and Dawson came on, or you had Creswell getting his head in, or Souček or Rice getting back. It was a very congested penalty area even when the crosses came in.
Yeah, well, I think West Ham tried to do that. They tried to get numbers in around the box and just not give Liverpool a minute to do anything and just falter everything they were trying to do. But Liverpool is one of them teams that you can defend so well, but you're still going to give up chances because they're one of them teams. And you see him with the Mane diving header towards the end. If that hits the back of the net, it's 3-3. And, you know, Liverpool sort it. They get out of the London Stadium. They're happy with the draw. But West Ham, you need a little bit of luck against the top sides. And Liverpool are clearly a top side. And slowly but surely, I think David Moyes is dragging West Ham up to that. Not on the level with Liverpool, Chelsea and your Man City's. But I think they're up there with the best of the rest of them, honestly. I think United are a little bit behind West Ham as a team at the minute. I think they, like I say, West Ham do the basics better than Manchester United. Manchester United are a team of individuals. And I would actually, given the performances I've seen over the season so far, I'd be tipping West Ham to go and get that fourth position.
Well, I mentioned on commentary, across this calendar year, only Chelsea and Man City have taken more points than West Ham. They haven't had a better start to the season, West Ham, since the 1970s. So this is really top-end stuff from their point of view. The stat which might worry me if I was a West Ham fan is that they have made the fewest changes across the league thus far this season to their starting lineups. Effectively, we can all pretty much guess the West Ham lineup. Maybe Ben Johnson versus Koufal is the only question in the air. So, I mean, you've been there, you know the demands. How sustainable is an 11, 12-man, 13-man effort across the season is maybe the one worry.
It's a worry because they're in Europe, but then that's because they've done so well last season. They're being rewarded this season with Europe, but they haven't really expanded their squad to the depths that they would like. When they're obviously going to go a little bit deeper in Europe, it seems they're going to qualify out of that group unless something dramatic happens. So they need one or two. I think if they can get to January in the same position they are now, they'll be over the moon and try and bring two or three more players in just to bolster the squad. But it's a really tough position to be in because, like you say, that West Ham team is set. They know the 11 they're going to play. So any players you're going to attract into West Ham are going to know they're going to be sitting on the bench. Mm. But David Moyes, he's got Europe games, he's got Premier League games, he's got Cup games, so he can attract players in with the amount of games they've got. So fair play to West Ham. I'm in awe of what David Moyes is doing there at the minute. They've been excellent.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are happy for him. And you were mentioning, we were chatting off air, you were at Preston where Moyes had been, and you were saying, you know, it was difficult to find somebody who had anything but good things to say, great things to say about David Moyes, from people at the club to, did you say there's a photo in the chip shop?
Yeah, the local chip shop. I spent quite a bit of time down the local chip shop in Preston. I probably shouldn't have, but yeah, you go in there, there's photos of David Moyes on the wall. They tell you what he likes to eat. He eats this fish with these chips, and he likes this curry sauce. It's mental. They just love him down there. And you don't, like, I think Sean Dyche now at Burnley, he has that sort of reputation in that city. He has pubs named after him there as well. And it's just, I think he's just got everybody on West Ham on side now. And like you said, the London Stadium isn't one that has a great atmosphere usually because they're so far away with the running track around the pitch. But you could hear that today. The fans are all on side. They're excited by what he's doing. And so am I. I think it's excellent to watch.
Yeah. Win against Liverpool is going to overcome any issues with the stadium. Yeah. Is there a Keith Tracy photo in the chipper?
I wouldn't have thought. It's probably been took down because I signed for Burnley after. I think they took it down.
Like, I literally scored, started running towards Jamie, and then I just looked to the right. I just seen my mum. My mum was just up there waving her hands, like, screaming. So I just stopped and just started screaming at her. It was funny.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts, and download the OTB Sports app.
So, Liverpool, what would you say about that performance?
I would go down the line that Klopp went down. I was listening to Jurgen Klopp's post-match interview, and he was saying that the league itself is getting a lot stronger, with Brighton now are a team that need to be reckoned with, West Ham are a team need to be reckoned with, United are, you know, they've got a team of individuals that are capable of beating anybody, but there's just a lot more strength in the league this year. So, you know, a draw against Brighton, a loss against West Ham, although on paper that doesn't look great for Liverpool, I think we have to give Brighton and we have to give West Ham a little bit of respect here, because West Ham aren't going away. Brighton don't seem to be going away just yet either. So, you know, although it's a draw against Brighton and a loss today for West Ham, I think Liverpool will quickly get back on the horse and start charging towards the top of the table again.
Yeah. One defeat in 26. It's not quite a crisis yet. They beat Atletico during the week. It was just difficult. I mean, they were, for a lot of the game, just reduced to crosses, really.
That's it. West Ham, they were just so well drilled. They knew Johnson was getting nice and narrow. Cresswell was getting narrow. And they were forcing Liverpool to go out wide. They tried to persist with going through the middle. But there was just so many bodies in there that they couldn't get through there. And you see him with the goals that Liverpool scored. Trent Alexander-Arnold's free kick was an outstanding free kick. The Divock Origi spin and hit. They're outstanding goals. If they don't score them two goals, I don't think they're going to breach West Ham defence. West Ham were that good today, but Liverpool still managed to get two goals out of the game. So you can't be too critical with Liverpool. I'd like them to work on when they lose the ball. They've so many numbers up the pitch when they lose the ball that it's not even a difficult pass to try and get Antonio in on this occasion, that you're just slipping down the sides of them because Alexander-Arnold and Robertson are up. It's just a ball down in, and if you win that initial battle in there, it's 2-1 in the middle.
Yeah. We did see a number of one-on-ones, effectively. The Fornals goal obviously really punished Liverpool. Antonio was in, he took a bad touch, but that threat always seemed to be there.
Alisson had to come out and clear one as well, a ball over the top. Yeah. He had to come out and clear it 30 yards off his own goal line as well. So there's a little bit of last-ditch defending there that you wouldn't really associate with Liverpool. And even towards the end, Van Dijk was stood up once or twice one-on-one. And if that had been anybody else other than Van Dijk, something different could have materialised there. But Van Dijk showed his class. He can show that he's getting back to where he was before his injury, and some of his defending was really good, cool and calm. But disappointing from his point of view to concede three to West Ham. You can't concede three away from home and expect to win a game. It's just as clinical as that.
There was a Van Dijk tackle on Bowen where he stood up afterwards and almost screamed in his face. He was pumped. It was like Chiellini or the boys.
That's what the defenders love. That's like a goal-saving challenge like that is as good as a goal for them. They go to bed dreaming about stuff like that.
Yeah. So you mentioned it took two goals of real world-class exceptional quality on Liverpool's part to breach the West Ham defence. Liverpool won't feel that the goals they conceded were great goals, and a fair portion of the blame might fall on Alisson's shoulders. First of all, we'll get to the Zuma one because I know you didn't like Alexander-Arnold there, but what about Alisson for the first goal? There was the corner and then the Fornals one-on-one.
Yeah, for the Fornals corner, it's a great ball in. It's a wicked ball in. He fizzes it under the crossbar, and there's so many bodies that you know, Alisson comes to get it. He gets a bit of a punch on it, but it hits him sort of down the arm and it goes in the back of the net. And to be honest, I just thought he had to be stronger. He's got to push people out the way and get rid of the ball. That's his area. He needs to dominate it. He didn't do that on that occasion. So a little bit weak on that occasion. The Fornals one, you know, I think Fornals just gets a little bit too much power on it. He gets, like you say, he gets a big chunk of the ball, but it just squirms under him and goes into the back of the net. But even the third one, you know, it's another ball in. I think it's Bone plays it in, and he gets caught under the ball. He's running around it, and Kurt Zouma heads it in. But Alexander-Arnold is the other side of Zouma the whole time, and he can pick up the flight of the ball because he can see it. He's on the opposite side of the pitch, so he can see the flight of the ball. He needs to get inside Zouma, and I know Zouma will probably win the header anyway, but back into him. Don't give him an easy one. Make him do something. Make him only get half a header. Give Alisson a chance in the goal to save it. And he didn't do that. But look at Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's an attacking fullback. He's not a defensive fullback. And I think 9 times out of 10, the attacking options that he gives you will outweigh the defensive frailties that he has.
Well, look no further than the goal, which is just majestic. It was almost as if Alexander-Arnold realised, it's Zouma, I'm not going to win this header, and just kept backing off and didn't have that instinct, as you say, to say, well, I mightn't win this, but he's not getting a clean header. I'm going to barge into him.
Yeah, well, I think that, again, that will go down to how he's being coached. And I think that if you're a right-back or a left-back, I know they're predominantly attacking position these days, but if you're a defensive player, you need to be able to defend, and he needs to smell that danger. As soon as he picks up the flight of that, he will know he's not favoured for it. So he's got to go and do something with Zouma. He's got to make contact. Because, you know, on Monday morning, Klopp is going to have a look at this and go, what were you doing here? At least if he makes that movement inside him and Zouma still gets a header and scores, you go, Gaffer, I was competing at the back post. I done my best. But he didn't. He stayed out of the fight. He never got involved. And it makes Alisson's mistake look a little bit worse than it was. So, yeah, Alisson and the touch of Trent Alexander-Arnold for the third wasn't great.
So I guess a final point. This Premier League season has been great so far, 11 games in. It's twisting, it's turning. The quality is good. Chelsea dropped points yesterday. Man City cruised at Old Trafford. Liverpool have had 1 point from two after looking very good for a very long time. West Ham are making things interesting. I suppose in some respects, the ongoing saga is at Old Trafford, and Manchester United look a million miles away from the top three.
They do, and I know, look, a lot's been made of Ronaldo. Is he getting more out of him? Is he taking stuff away from the team with his lack of running? But I think with the players he has around him, with Greenwood and Sancho and Bruno Fernandes, if you're going to play Ronaldo, you've got to tell these players you're going to have to do a little bit more running, because we've got one of the best players in the world, probably the best player to ever kick a football. He can have a serious argument about that. I am the best, and there's not many people that can say that. So if you've got somebody in your team that can claim to be the best player in the world, you've got to do a bit of running around them. You've got to get a couple of workhorses in there. And you know, Fred, McTominay, although they are workhorses, they don't have the quality, because they will go and nick a ball fight every now and then, but they don't have it to get it into Ronaldo's feet sharpish and let him go and do something. So I think they're a bit short in certain areas. I think Fred, McTominay need to be looked at. I think Shaw's just come off the boil a bit. He's been brilliant for the last couple of months, but just come off the boil ever so slightly. And there's just a couple of question marks over a couple of people in the United team at the minute.
Yeah, De Gea's had two games with two mistakes now. And Roy Keane's always on to Wan-Bissaka. Where are you in Wan-Bissaka?
I heard Roy Keane's description of him, and listen, he's a great athlete. He grew up and down the pitch. He's a good tackler, but he's always on his arse when he's tackling. He's like Van Dijk doesn't go to the ground because he doesn't get exposed. But Wan-Bissaka will get exposed, but his pace gets him out of a lot of problems. And the way I heard Roy Keane describe him was, he doesn't have a feel for the football. Yeah. And that's a great way to describe him. He can run, he can cross, he can do everything. But if you fizz a ball into him, you're not really sure that he's just going to control it and be nice and calm. He can look a little bit erratic at times on the ball. And defensively, he can be a little bit naive as well. And I think he could go on to be a Manchester United right back, but at the minute, he's still just a little bit raw for me.
Yeah. Wing back not having a feel for the ball is going to be an issue for you as well. So if you're saying Shaw's going to touch off the ball, which is fair, Maguire's probably not in great form, Wan-Bissaka's still developing, De Gea's having a blip, there's McTominay and Fred in the middle, and no one's running around enough for Ronaldo up top. Other than that, though, it's okay.
Other than that, it's fine. Yeah, all you got to do is sort it. Like I say, it's not...
That's a lot of problems, isn't it?
It is a lot of problems, but the main one is work rate. And I'm not just singling out Ronaldo, because Ronaldo's there to score goals, and he could quite easily and probably acceptably say, listen, I've scored X amount of goals this season, it's not me, you need to keep them out. And it, but look, it's a team game. Ollie really needs to get them on the training ground and just say, when the ball is there, I need you to be here. I need you to worry about him. And really individualise it. Let people know where they need to be. Because at the minute, they look like a very undercoached side when they don't have the ball.
Former Republic of Ireland international Keith Tracy. Thanks, Keith.
No problem.